William J. Riggins, Jr., also known as Bill, was born in San Diego, California, as the 12th of 18 children. He lived in Tijuana, Mexico for the first 9 years of his life, at which point he moved to San Diego. At age 14, he joined the church, and at age 19, he served a mission to Santiago, Chile. Brother Riggins was sealed to Bonnie Lynn McKee in the Los Angeles Temple. They are the parents of four children and the grandparents to 14 grandchildren and one great-grandson. Brother Riggins worked in the swimming pool industry for 20 years. He earned a bachelor's and master's degree from San Diego State and a doctoral degree from Alliant International University. After graduating, he was hired by the church education system, where he served as director of the San Diego Institute for 11 years. Brother Riggins was hired by BYU Idaho in June of 2006 and serves as a teacher in the religion department, director of student honor, and chief inclusion officer. He has served in every position in the Young Men's Program, stake Young Men's President, High Counselor, Counselor in two bishoprics, Bishop, and stake President. From 2014 to 2017, Brother and Sister Riggins served as mission leaders of the Ecuador-Guayaquil North Mission. Brother Riggins currently serves as stake patriarch and temple ordinance worker. If you ask him what he considers to be his greatest success, he will tell you that it is a combination of four events: joining the church, serving a mission, marrying his sweet wife in the temple, and pursuing an education.
Hello, my beautiful friends. Aloha. It is a privilege and an honor to be with you today. I thank all who have participated up to this point. I thank you for your commitment in inviting the Holy Ghost to be present. President and Sister Meredith, we love you. We sustain you, and you're in our prayers. If you're online, welcome. If you're returning this semester, welcome back. If you're new, welcome to BYU Idaho. With our mission to develop lifelong disciples of Jesus Christ who serve in their homes, the church, and their communities, we are a very unique institution. If you listen carefully, the Holy Ghost will daily invite you to look to Jesus Christ, to learn of him, to learn from him, and to follow him. You will be reminded to practice and develop Christ-like attributes through your commitment to keep your covenants by the honor code and dress and grooming principles and expectations that you agreed to live by the student living principles of love, shared responsibility, mutual respect governing your apartment, and by your association with classmates, teachers, administrators, ecclesiastical leaders. Rejoice in the spirit of it all. This is truly a great place. Let me share a personal story with a principle that, if you'll allow it, will bless your life. Before coming to Rexburg in 2006, Sister Riggins and I lived in San Diego, California. That had been our home for most of our lives. Our families lived there. We served in our ward and stake. I had a great job as the institute director at San Diego State. We had great friends. It didn't snow. It was rarely cold. And we were 12 minutes from the beach. We had no reason to come to BYU Idaho except for the fact that the Spirit led us here. When we were invited to join the religion faculty, we had to use our agency to say yes or no. Once we decided to accept the position, we again had to choose to use our agency. We sat down and said something like this: no one is forcing us to move to Rexburg. We are doing it of our own free will. If we are moving there, we must decide once and for all that we will love everything about it. We will love the city, the people, the customs, the university, the students, our colleagues, and yes, even the weather. That decision paved the way for the joy, peace, happiness, friendships, service opportunities, and community connections of the last 18 years. We love this place. We love you. I invite you to consider how such a decision would mark your experience as disciples, students, roommates, ward members, and members of the community, and then make it. I promise you that making such a decision will not only bless your life here at BYU-Idaho, but your entire life. Over the years, we have learned what President Russell M. Nelson has taught, quote, "The joy we feel has little to do with the circumstances of our lives and everything to do with the focus of our lives," close quote. Now, we were blessed to serve as mission leaders in Guayaquil, Ecuador, with a temple in our mission boundaries. Many of our missionaries came to us from places where temples were not accessible. Some had received their endowment while attending the MTC, and in many cases, had only attended once or twice. Knowing the challenges of life, a mission, and missionary work, we knew the importance that temple covenants would have in the life of our missionaries. Like the pioneers of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints crossing the plains, our missionaries needed the fire of the covenant burning within them. In this most recent general conference, President Dallin H. Oaks taught, quote, "We have the testimonies of many pioneers that the power they received from being bound to Christ in their endowments in the Nauvoo Temple gave them the strength to make their epic journey and establish themselves in the West." End of quote. Elder David A. Bednar taught, "What was it that gave those early saints such strength? It was the fire of the covenant that burned in their hearts. It was their commitment to worship and honorably hold the name and standing in the house of the Lord." End of quote. Because of this, Sister Riggins, myself, and our mission leaders decided that we would start each of our zone conferences in the temple. The temple president set us apart as ordinance workers, and we led each session at 6 a.m. We would start our training at each zone conference by studying the available scriptures and words of the prophets concerning the temple. It was a remarkable experience. My intent today is to walk you through some of those beautiful teachings with the hope that you may recognize that the temple is as much for you, the living, right now, as BYU-Idaho students, as it is for those on the other side of the veil. I know that obtaining your education will be hard and have its challenges, but I also know that you don't have to do it alone. And like the pioneers and my missionaries, the fire of the covenant needs to be burning in your hearts. Now, it's important to note that the early revelations that Joseph Smith received about the temple had nothing to do with the deceased. They had everything to do with the living. I believe that it's fair to ask, what will the temple do for me here, now? Let's answer that question. While working on the Bible translation and expanding missionary work to the Western United States, Joseph Smith received a revelation that he was to stop translating, he was to strengthen the church in Colesville, and then he was to move himself and the church from New York to Ohio. The Lord's reasoning was short and without much detail. Quote, "Behold, I say unto you, that it is not expedient in me that you should translate anymore until you shall go to the Ohio. And this because of the enemy and for your sakes." I have often wondered if I would have gone. I've always been impressed by Emma Smith, who at the time was pregnant with twins. Can you imagine the questions she must have had? Why do we have to move? Do you realize that it's December? How will we get there? Where will we live? I don't believe that the Lord's reasoning provided much comfort. Nevertheless, she went. Of this experience, Saints Volume 1 tells us this, quote, Joseph felt an urgent need to get to Kirtland and meet the new converts. Although Emma was pregnant with twins and was recovering from a long bout of sickness, she climbed aboard the sleigh, determined to go with him. Joseph's desire to obey and questions from the members of the church opened the windows for further revelation that would expand the Lord's reasoning. Now, brothers and sisters, as a teacher, this is where I would ask you to remember those two simple reasons that God had given. Write them down and then expand each one. Just weeks after receiving the instruction to move, Joseph received this information, quote, and that ye might escape the power of the enemy and be gathered unto me a righteous people without spot and blameless. Wherefore, for this cause, I gave unto you the commandment that you should go to the Ohio. There I will give unto you my law, and there you shall be endowed with power from on high. And from thence, whosoever I will shall go forth among all nations, and it shall be told them what they should do. For I have a great work laid up in store, for Israel shall be saved, and I will lead them whithersoever I will, and no power shall stay my hand. Close quote. I don't know if Joseph or the members in 1831 understood what the Lord had in store. But we know that in Kirtland, Ohio, the Lord would have the saints build the first temple of this dispensation. And in those three verses, we begin to see the purpose of the temple for the here and the now. One, to escape the power of the enemy. Two, to gather a righteous people without spot and blameless. Three, to receive God's law. Four, to be endowed with power from on high. Five, to prepare to go and gather Israel. Six, to receive the necessary revelation as to what and how we should perform God's great work. Seven, to save Israel. Eight, to be led on God's path. Nine, to be protected from ungodly powers. Think about this list, brothers and sisters. Would you now go to the Ohio? 3 days after receiving Section 38, the prophet received D&C 39, where the Lord emphasized, quote, and inasmuch as my people shall assemble themselves at the Ohio, I have kept in store a blessing, such as is not known among the children of men, and it shall be poured upon their heads, and from thence men shall go forth into all nations. Close quote. God's promise that in Ohio he would give unto them the law has multiple meanings. The heading of Doctrine and Covenants, section 42, states, quote, it was received in the presence of 12 elders and in fulfillment of the Lord's promise previously made that the law would be given in Ohio, close quote. In that section, the Lord provides what I consider to be one of the great promises of our day. Quote, ye shall observe the laws which you have received and be faithful. And ye shall hereafter receive church covenants such as shall be sufficient to establish you both here and in the New Jerusalem. When I read this verse, I think of the Salt Lake Temple and all that they have done to provide it a solid foundation that will be sufficient to establish it both here and in the New Jerusalem. Having personally received those church covenants, not known among the children of men, and striving to live accordingly, removes all the fear from the questions, quote, but who may abide the day of his coming? and who shall stand when he appeareth? Close quote. At the end of 1832, Joseph was commanded to build a temple in Kirtland, Ohio. As part of that commandment, the Lord adds to our understanding of the purpose of the temple. Again, brothers and sisters, think about the here and the now. Quote, organize yourselves, prepare every needful thing, establish a house, even a house of prayer, a house of fasting, a house of faith, a house of learning, a house of glory, a house of order, a house of God. At the most recent conference, President Nelson said this about that verse, quote, this list of attributes is much more than a description of a temple. It is a promise about what will happen to those who serve and worship in the house of the Lord. They can expect to receive answers to prayer, personal revelation, greater faith, strength, comfort, increased knowledge, and increased power. Close quote. Joseph was reprimanded by the Lord on June 1st, 1833, for failure to build the house of the Lord. In that revelation found in Doctrine and Covenants, section 95, we receive further insights as to the purpose of the temple for the here and the now. Quote, for you have sinned against me a very grievous sin, in that you have not considered the great commandment in all things that I have given unto you concerning the building of my house. For the preparation wherewith I design to prepare mine apostles to prune my vineyard for the last time, that I may bring to pass my strange act, that I may pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Consider for a moment what you know about temples and temple work. The word strange may seem strange to us because we see it with limited vision or understanding. I love the definition given of this word in Webster's 1828 version of the dictionary. Quote, foreign, not domestic, new, not before known, heard or seen. Wonderful, causing surprise, exciting curiosity, uncommon, unusual, unacquainted, end of quote. Those words describe the restored gospel of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, the holy temples of the Lord, and hopefully us as a people. Of his strange work, the Lord said, quote, what I have said unto you must needs be, that all men may be left without excuse, that wise men and rulers may hear and know that which they have never considered, that I may proceed to bring to pass my act, my strange act, and to perform my work, my strange work, that men may discern between the righteous and the wicked, saith your God. While struggling with the issues taking place in Independence, Missouri, Joseph received a revelation adding greater understanding of the purpose of God's holy house. Again, brothers and sisters, consider how the temple is for you and me right now at BYU Idaho. Quote, yea, let it be built speedily, a house built unto me for the salvation of Zion, for a place of thanksgiving for all saints, and for a place of instruction for all those who are called to the work of the ministry in all their several callings and offices, that they may be perfected in the understanding of their ministry, in theory, in principle, and in doctrine, in all things pertaining to the kingdom of God on the earth. And inasmuch as my people build a house unto me in the name of the Lord and do not suffer any unclean thing to come into it, that it be not defiled, my glory shall rest upon it. Yea, my presence shall be there, for I will come into it, and all the pure in heart that shall come into it shall see God. End of quote. President Nelson has taught that, quote, education is yours to obtain. No one else can gain it for you. Wherever you are, develop a deep desire to learn. For us as Latter-day Saints, gaining an education is not just a privilege, it is a religious responsibility. The glory of God is intelligence. Indeed, our education is for the eternities. End of quote. Thus, part of your ministry is to gain knowledge, understanding, wisdom, and intelligence. Some of that you will gain here at BYU Idaho. However, it's in the temple where you will be perfected in the understanding of your ministry, in theory, in principle, and in doctrine. Now I'm going to move on, but just know, I haven't forgotten the last promise in verse 16. I'll come back to it. It took the saints almost 3 years to get the temple built in Kirtland, Ohio. The dedicatory prayer is recorded in section 109 of the Doctrine and Covenants. 2 weeks ago, President Nelson taught, quote, Joseph Smith's dedicatory prayer of the Kirtland Temple is a tutorial about how the temple spiritually empowers you and me to meet the challenges of life in these last days. I encourage you, he said, to study that prayer as recorded in Doctrine and Covenants, section 109, end of quote. Let me just mention a few points from that section to help us answer the question, what will the temple do for me here and now? Quote, and that all people shall enter upon the threshold of the Lord's house may feel thy power. All those who shall worship in this house may be taught words of wisdom, and that they may grow up in thee and receive a fullness of the Holy Ghost and be organized according to thy laws and be prepared to obtain every needful thing. And we ask thee, Holy Father, that thy servants may go forth from this house armed with thy power, and that thy name may be upon them, and thy glory be round about them, and thine angels have charge over them. And from this place they may bear exceeding great and glorious tidings in truth unto the ends of the earth. We ask thee, Holy Father, to establish the people that shall worship and honorably hold a name and standing in this thy house to all generations and for eternity, that no weapon formed against them shall prosper, that no combination of wickedness shall have power to rise up and prevail over thy people, upon whom thy name shall be put in this house. My dear friends, can you see why our dear prophet is constantly inviting us to make the temple a priority in our lives? He promised, quote, nothing will help you more to hold fast to the iron rod than worshiping in the temple as regularly as your circumstances permit. Nothing will protect you more as you encounter the world's mist of darkness. Nothing will bolster your testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ and his atonement, or help you understand God's magnificent plan more. Nothing will soothe your spirit more during times of pain. Nothing will open the heavens more. Nothing. End of quote. Please, please consider what the Lord is offering you. Claim the blessings. Don't leave them unused. I too invite you. Make the temple a priority, a place of learning, a place of revelation, a safe haven, a resort from the influence of the world, a place where you can come to know you, and the place where you can come to know God. Let me come back to that promise made in Doctrine and Covenants 97:16. Quote, "And all the pure in heart that shall come into it shall see God." End of quote. When the Lord accepted the Kirtland Temple, he verified this promise. Quote, "For behold, I have accepted this house, and my name shall be there. I will manifest myself to my people in mercy in this house. Yea, I will appear unto my servants and speak unto them with mine own voice, if my people will keep my commandments and do not pollute this holy house." President Nelson, too, verified this promise. Quote, "This significant promise applies to every dedicated temple today. I invite you to ponder what the Lord's promise means for you personally." End of quote. Now, brothers and sisters, I finish with a scripture from which the title of my talk is derived. Having made the temple the focus of our lives, Sister Riggins and I promise you that these verses are true. The Lord of the harvest wants you to know him personally and intimately. He wants to reveal himself to you and hold you in his hands. Quote, "And they shall be gathered into the gardeners." Those are temples. "That they are not wasted. Yea, they shall not be beaten down by the storm at the last day. Yea, neither shall they be harrowed up by the whirlwinds. But when the storm cometh, and they will come, they shall be gathered together in their place, that the storm cannot penetrate to them. Yea, neither shall they be driven with fierce winds, whithersoever the enemy listeth to carry them. But behold, they are in the hands of the Lord of the harvest, and they're his, and he will raise them up at the last day. Of this I bear witness in the name of the Lord of the harvest, even Jesus Christ. Amen."